Good morning. Trump's financial disclosures reveal vast wealth and close ties to crypto. Reuters has been poring over the nearly 1,000 pages of filings.
The amount of money is really just unlike anything that we've ever seen before in a presidency.
The worst-case predictions over gas prices never came, and now they're falling. Politico tells us why. And the U.S. men's soccer team end their knockout curse, but last night's win came with a sting in the tail. It's Thursday, July 2nd. I'm Cecilia Lay, in for Shamita Basu. This is Apple News Today. President Trump's latest financial disclosures show his wealth has skyrocketed during his second term. He earned at least $2.2 billion in revenue in 2025, roughly four times what he reported in 2024.
The disclosures which came out on Tuesday showed that the president had made an enormous sum, totally vast amount of money, through these crypto activities.
That's Reuters reporter Tom Bergen, who told us that, in many cases, Trump and his family directly profited from actions the president took since returning to the White House, especially his cryptocurrency ventures, which accounted for more than half of his income last year.
The president himself, of course, is famous for having said that he thought that Bitcoin and other cryptos were a scam.
I don't like it because it's another currency competing against the dollar. Essentially, it's a currency competing against the dollar. I want the dollar to be the currency of the world. That's what I've always said.
But a couple of years ago, he changed his position on this, and his sons became quite interested in crypto.
Trump campaigned on being a crypto-friendly administration. He and his family launched a crypto firm in the middle of his 2024 campaign. According to the disclosures, Trump generated nearly $800 million from that firm. Roughly a third of that came after a United Arab Emirates royal family member made a deal to buy a stake in the company just days before the president's inauguration. Then, shortly after that deal was signed, Trump, by now the president, granted the UAE access to special chips used for artificial intelligence. Another $635 million came from meme coins, a type of speculative crypto token whose value depends almost entirely on what investors are willing to pay. Trump set this coin up just days before taking office. Since then, he's held annual contests where top buyers of his meme coin can win private time with the president at his golf clubs. And one of his administration's first moves was to exclude meme coins from SEC oversight.
Under the Biden administration, and indeed under the first Trump administration, we saw the SEC take quite a robust approach to companies that were selling crypto tokens. And basically, they shut a number of them down, and they also levied fines on people for marketing cryptocurrencies. President Trump has pulled back from that, which has been massively welcomed by the crypto industry, and that has been very helpful for the president's own business.
Trump has also supported legislation that stands to benefit his family's crypto interests. Last summer, he signed a law promoting a type of digital currency called stablecoins, just a few months after his family's firm introduced its own type of stablecoin. Trump has also used executive power to strengthen alliances with leaders in the crypto industry. He issued a pardon in October to the richest man in crypto, the owner of the company Binance, which has been a critical business partner to the Trump family. And Trump just got more power to reshape key regulatory bodies that oversee the crypto industry. The Supreme Court this week ruled that presidents can fire people at will who work for these agencies, which means Trump could potentially remove people who disagree with his crypto agenda. When reporters asked the president about his financial disclosures yesterday, he credited his crypto success to a strong stock market.
Everybody's profiting. If you have a 401k, how's your 401k done? It's about up 85%. Thank you, President Trump. So we're all profiting.
Trump also told reporters that he doesn't speak with the people who manage his investments. Many of his assets are in a trust controlled by his sons, unlike previous presidents who divested their holdings or placed them in blind trusts. Trump is the beneficiary of that trust, meaning he profits from the business deals his sons make. The wealth that he and his family have amassed over his second term have raised questions about possible ethics violations. In a statement, the White House spokesperson said, quote, "Neither the president nor his family has ever engaged or will ever engage in conflicts of interest." And Bergen told us the ethics rules and laws that apply to most federal officials do not apply to the president.
The president is behaving in a way that many ethical scholars that we speak to say is contrary to the intentions of the rules and without precedent. But most people that we speak to, most legal experts, are generally of the view that the president is probably not breaking the law.
But he is certainly breaking precedent. Most former presidents have sold off businesses they owned or held stakes in when they took office to avoid even the perception that they might be profiting from their office. George W. Bush sold his stake in the Texas Rangers baseball team, while Jimmy Carter famously put his beloved peanut farm into a blind trust. When the war with Iran broke out, experts predicted major spikes in energy costs, and a lot of them warned that those higher prices would stick around even after the Strait of Hormuz opened up. And yet, gas prices have declined steeply ahead of the 4th of July weekend. According to AAA, on July 1st, gas averaged about $3.85 a gallon, down nearly 50 cents from about a month ago.
The experts got this one wrong because they were just looking at the way the markets have traditionally reacted.
Scott Waldman covers the White House for Politico.
No one knew what was going to happen when you had the Strait of Hormuz, where about 20% of the world's oil supply flowed every day, closed. And I think they were basing it on past trends. And really, we missed it for a variety of reasons.
To be clear, gas prices in the U.S. did jump, and parts of Asia and Europe took a real hit to their economies while the strait was shut. But the worst-case predictions, one analyst warned of a fuel apocalypse, haven't come to pass, at least so far. Waldman told us there are a few reasons why. The U.S. and Japan increased its exports, which plugged the gap a little. Countries dipped into global reserves more than expected, and China cut their imports, helping ease the pressure on worldwide demand.
It has to do both with renewables and also, of course, with the state of the economy in China, where manufacturing is down, which means demand is down. The clean energy industry in China has been ramping up for years. Since they don't produce a lot of oil, they've been preparing for a scenario exactly like this for a long time.
President Trump is claiming victory for the falling gas prices while demanding oil companies to lower them even more, threatening probes into price gouging from the Oval Office last week.
We should be, in my opinion, at $2.25 right now at the pump. And we're higher than that. And we are doing a big investigation on it, yeah. They're not reducing the prices commensurate with what's happening.
Waldman says that Trump's rhetoric, often in the form of late-night social media posts, might have played a big role in keeping the price of oil futures down.
Experts have really credited him in the last few months with talking down the markets essentially. They call it jawboning the market. Even if people said that seems questionable, that sort of claim, the market really bought into it. And oil futures, the paper markets, never really jumped in the way that folks thought they would.
Looking ahead to November, falling gas prices appear to be easing some concerns over the economy, with the Consumer Confidence Index ticking up more than half a point in June. That's welcome news for Republicans who've been bracing for attacks on affordability. Here's House Republican Majority Leader Steve Scalise.
This is a country that's actually experiencing a golden age again. I mean, gas prices are down 50 cents from where they were just a few weeks ago and continuing to go down. Affordability is back again. And Democrats are upset about that because they wanted it as a talking point for November.
But time may be running out, politically speaking. 60% disapprove of President Trump's handling of the economy in a recent NPR Marist PBS poll. And Scott says that voters' minds are made up now when it comes to the economy, months before ballots are cast.
This is sort of the cutoff point, according to Frank Luntz, a longtime Republican pollster, where he says prices today, prices into next month are going to be way more influential than a price spike or price drop in September or October, because attitudes among voters sort of gets locked in.
Is Midtown Manhattan about to host the wedding of the year?
Welcome to New York. It's been waiting for
no one knows for sure exactly how or when Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are getting married, but the rumor mill has been intense, with news networks camped outside Madison Square Garden all week.
It's all about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's rumored wedding this July 4th weekend.
Look at these trucks right here. They are unloading all sorts of massive items off of these trucks and into the loading dock.
This is going to be the equivalent of America's royal wedding.
The New York Times and CNN have talked to insiders confirming several days of celebration centered around New York's 20,000 capacity arena. The reporting stops short of confirming it's a wedding exactly, but the New York Post cites an NYPD memo confirming closed roads and extra patrols for a private two-day event. And others have slipped into using the W word, notably New York City Mayor Zohran Mamdani.
We know it coincides with July 4th, America 250, Taylor Swift's wedding all happening at the same time.
Swift has a long history of throwing big parties on July 4th, so fans have speculated that it makes sense. The Times reports that some of Kelce's friends have booked hotels nearby, too. The 49ers' George Kittle disclosed to Extra TV that the big day is at least close enough that Swift and Kelce have offered some guidance for guests.
They said absolutely no gifts, but I was thinking Travis, for some reason, likes old coins, so I might get him an old coin.
Oh, I love that. That's really personal.
Yeah. Sounds expensive, too.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you. Would you like to give them a wedding wish?
Ooh, a wedding wish? Just have so much fun with all of your friends.
But some speculated this was all to throw people off the scent or that it could be a decoy. All of the guesswork and theories are perfectly on brand for Swift, who spent her career sending fans searching high and low for Easter eggs about her songs and projects. In early albums, she would hide messages in the liner notes of her CDs. Her music videos have hidden clues about the titles of her upcoming records. And on her record-breaking Eras tour, she wore outfits that teased her next project. The Atlantic writes that Swift, over her career, has become a master of the thrill of the chase. Sometimes her clues lead nowhere. Other times, they turn out to be true. But even if this weekend comes and goes with no wedding, Swifties will almost certainly keep looking for the next hint. Here are a few other stories we're following today. The heat wave that struck much of the Midwest is heading east in time for the July 4th holiday weekend. The heat index, that is, what the temperature feels like to the body, hit the triple figures in several areas earlier this week. 106 in Chicago, 103 in Cleveland, and 113 in southern Illinois. Some 250 million people live in areas that are expected to experience some level of dangerous heat today, according to the Weather Service. Cities including Washington, D.C., New York City, Philadelphia, and Boston could see temperatures climb into the low hundreds. It's expected to cool down at least a little bit by Saturday. And as the country heads into the holiday weekend marking America's 250th anniversary, two new polls offer a snapshot of how Americans are feeling about the nation's legacy. A PBS News NPR Marist poll found most believe the country has drifted from its founding principles. Even so, nearly two-thirds said they're very proud to be American. Meanwhile, a CBS poll showed that about 47% think the country's best days are in its past, though 43% also feel that the country has lived up to the ideals it was founded on. Those views are just a snapshot in time. Another 250 years from now, people may feel very differently. That's when America's time capsule is set to be opened. The 900-pound steel cylinder was officially sealed last month and will be buried in Philadelphia on Saturday. Some of the peculiar contents added by states include a whalebone from Maine, a single diamond from Arkansas, and from Arizona, a stainless steel coin nano-etched with the entire Declaration of Independence. And finally, the men's soccer team has made it to the World Cup's last 16 after beating Bosnia and Herzegovina 2-0 last night in Santa Clara, California. It's a rare win at this level for the U.S. Before yesterday, 11 World Cup appearances had delivered only one knockout stage victory. But last night's win came at a price. Valorin Balogun has been a star of the tournament and scored the opening goal, but he was controversially sent off for catching an opposition player's leg in a collision, meaning he'll miss the next match. It didn't stop the celebrations, though. Head coach Mauricio Pochettino joined thousands in a rendition of what's become the team's tournament anthem. Their next game comes Monday in Seattle against Belgium, and if they win that, they'll head to the quarterfinals. The last time they made it that far was 2002. You can find all these stories and more in the Apple News app. And if you're already listening in the news app right now, we've got a narrated article coming up next. Vox reports on how attitudes about generosity have shifted from the hopeful days of 2014's Ice Bucket Challenge to a more cynical view of giving. If you're listening in the podcast app, follow Apple News Plus Narrated to find that story. And before we let you go, just a heads up, our team will be off Friday and Monday for the holiday weekend, but we'll be back with the news on Tuesday.